you know, been a couple of years here since we've played the Browns, and there's a few new familiar faces, but quite a few new ones. Overall, I think they've been a pretty impressive team to watch on film. Defensively, they've got a lot of good players. They're very good up front, got good depth, and you know, good quality of players there. O'Brien's really having a good year for him. You know, Ruben's a solid player. Sheard and Kruger and Mingo, very athletic, make a lot of plays. Phil Jackson's a very productive player. Very good pass coverage, found the ball a lot. Good corners, good safeties. Had a good year. Screen. Owens, you know, done a good job for him in their nickel situation. Ford's a really productive player. Gibson, you know, had a good year. A lot of young guys on defense that are athletic and playing well. Do a good job. They don't give up any big plays. They care on everything. It's a pretty solid group. You know, offensively, the line has been, you know, really intact all year. I mean, Lovano missed, you know, a couple games early in the season, but he's been there, and, you know, the other guys, Thomas Greco, Mack, and Schwartz, you know, have all played together. They played together a lot last year. I don't think Mack and Thomas have ever missed a game or a snap. They're always in. A lot of consistency up front. They're offensive line. Obviously, Thomas and Mack are two outstanding players. Mm-hmm. The whole group that's been together for a while. They handle things, you know, pretty well. You know, Cameron has had an excellent year. Form a tight end. Both two guys, playmaker. Obviously, Gordon is, you know, at the top of the league in terms of production. He's big. He's fast. It's a lot of yards after the catch. He's at the top of the league in that. Also makes a lot of plays, yards running by people that he catches. You know, falls in all three areas, short, middle, and deep. Makes plays after the catch. Big, strong guy. You know, little. There's no Bess. Bess does a good job for him, too. He's kind of a go-to guy for him on third down, critical situation. He's a hard guy to handle there in the slot, as we know from the days at Miami. You know, McGahee's, you know, done a solid job for him running the ball, as has Obajaniah. Got that right. Pronunciation. He's, you know, plays a lot in sub situations, and he's a quick, elusive guy that very good in the passing game. Also, a good runner. You know, a quick guy that kind of complements McGahee. You know, very, very competitive team. Obviously, a very experienced kicker. In the return game, always had trouble with him. So, you know, North does a great job offensively, calling a good mix of plays, working the ball down the field as well as, you know, dropping the ball off on check down and crossing out, that kind of thing. So it really makes you defend the entire field. They're well balanced. Often, they call. We always. Always have a tough time going against the board defense. Good job. You know, his schemes and players' positions, but great job. That's good. We'll just be ready for multiple guys in the quarterback position. Not really a whole lot different than we do any week. We always prepare for all the guys that are out. We all know that could change in a hurry, regardless of how it starts. Be ready for the guys that active at that position.
Afternoon, Bill. You actually just addressed a lot of what I wanted to ask you about the quarterback situation, but I guess Josh Gordon, maybe expounding on him a little bit, 498 yards the last 2 weeks, pretty phenomenal. What have you seen out of him in these last two games and then in general throughout the season?
I'd say it's pretty much been throughout the season. Of course, he's had a lot of production the last couple of weeks, but I don't think you've seen anything in those games that you haven't seen previously in the year. He's a very explosive player, can get behind the defense, and has a good speed down the field. He does a good job on underneath routes, inside routes, crossing patterns, curls, in cuts, things like that. Not only going in and catching in traffic, but he's a strong guy, breaks a lot of tackles, bounces off guys. And they have trouble getting him on the ground. They also throw him some quick passes out in the flat, like quick three-step drop plays or hook-tight passes to complement the running game. Defense all packed in there trying to stop the run, that kind of thing. He's a hard guy to handle one-on-one out there in terms of tackling. He's getting on the ground, so... I think he's got over 500 yards run after catch or something like that. So, you know, he makes a significant amount of yardage after he's got the ball in his hand, but also makes a lot of yardage down the field, too. So he's, you know, a really hard guy to defend because they do so many things with him, and you have to defend him at all three levels of defense. So I don't know what, you know, coverage or type of coverage you're in. I want to stress everybody's not just really one guy.
Bill, it's Tom. I had one housekeeping question from Sunday's game in Houston and then another one just to follow in North Turner. But the first one was when you have a question on a call, for instance, the situation with Julian Edelman and what appeared to be a fair catch interference, do you send that into the league and ask if that was actually a foul or not? And have you received any – when do you do that? And if you've already done it, did you receive any explanation back? That could have been a real game-changing play for an uncalled penalty there.
Certainly you can. We can call the league office, the officiating department, Pete Landino, on any play, and he, you know, comes back with how he viewed the play. You know, what the officials call it, maybe why they called it. Sometimes it's yes, that was the right call. Sometimes it's a no, it was the wrong call. Sometimes it's a, well, it could have gone either way. It's a judgment call. This is what the official saw. This is why he called it, you know, so forth and so on. So, we get an explanation of that, or if we have a rules question, we talk to him about that, and he clarifies it. And I think that the dialogue from Dean has been, you know, very good from the preseason when, you know, he initially comes in and they, you know, talk about the rules changes and go through things with staff, which they do with every team in the league. That you know, he does a very good job of explaining things. We ask questions and so forth, and then as things come up during the year, we can talk to him about them and he can answer the questions.
Anything specific to the play I was referencing?
I really can't comment on that, get into specific questions, the specific answers. I think, you know, that's something that you want to, you know, follow up with.
Okay.
You know, you can do that. But I think really plays like that, you know, just beg the whole question of what's reviewable and what isn't reviewable. And we only have two challenges, and you get, you know, potentially a play like that that could be a significant play. Now, had that play been, had they called that we touched the ball, or, you know, had they called a touch and a recovery, then it would have been reviewed. The review would have been part of the touching, not part of the interference. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of gray area there, as well as, you know, some sticky things as to, you know, what's reviewable, what isn't, what, you know, what could be changed, what couldn't. So, well, that's a good question for another day, but it certainly brings up a lot of other questions. Not only whether it was or wasn't, but, you know, then how to handle it.
Thanks. And just a quick one, North Turner. He really seems to... can I just squeeze a quick note about whether it be at Dallas with Michael Irvin, San Diego with Vincent Jackson, he really covets those bigger downfield threats who can exploit some of the styles of his offense, and Gordon being one of them. Is he a continuation of those types of guys?
Absolutely. And, you know, a big part of that is obviously protection. It's, you know, having a solid offensive line that can, you know, give those guys time to run those, you know, 20, 22-yard in cuts and plays like that down the field. And, you know, puts a lot of pressure on your defense if you play zone coverage. You've got to, you know, drop way back there to, you know, to cover those deep routes, and that opens up the check downs and crossing routes underneath. You know, if you're a man coverage, I mean, you got to cover those guys for a long time. And that's, you know, they're pushing it deep, and you think they're going deep, and all of a sudden they break it off at, you know, 18, 20, 22 yards, those type routes that are, you know, deeper than normal. And that's hard for, you know, defensive backs to, you know, to match those routes when they're that extended. So, but you're right. They love those big receivers. North love those big receivers, and he loves to bring them inside. They're big targets, and you know, they go up and get the ball, and tough to stop.
Bill, you have a chance to either clinch or at least tie for a share of the division title on Sunday. I'm guessing that's a primary goal of yours entering the season. I was wondering if you could just expound on that.
Well, I mean, really, we're not talking too much about that. I mean, there's, you know, the only thing we can really control is how we play against Cleveland, and that's really what we need to focus on. Whatever else does or doesn't happen in the league is definitely totally outside of our control. Right now, we're just trying to focus on improving, getting ready for the Browns, a team we don't know very well, a team that, you know, we have a lot of respect for, that has a lot of explosive players, and, you know, it's going to be a big challenge for us this week to, you know, match up against these guys. So hopefully we can go out there and improve and, you know, play better and win, and, you know, whatever else happens or doesn't happen, that's, we can't worry about that.
Good afternoon, Bill. I just sort of building off that point on the fair catch question from Tom Curran, who's always bringing up those good topics. Did I hear right a couple weeks ago that you'd be in favor of being able to review stuff like that, or did I maybe dream that? I think it was on the radio.
No, I don't think it's a dream. I think, you know, when you have two challenges, and not that I've challenged anything this year, but, you know, when you have two challenges, I don't see anything wrong with the concept of you can challenge any two plays you want. And I understand that, you know, judgment calls are judgment calls, but, you know, to say that, you know, a play, an important play, you know, can't be reviewed, like, I don't think that's really in the spirit of let's trying to get everything right and make sure that the most important plays are officiated properly. So, you know, you get a situation where they, you know, call a guy for being offside and you don't think he was offside and you're willing to, you know, use one of your challenges on that to let him go back and take a look at it. And I understand if the evidence isn't conclusive, that the rules, that the call stands, and if it is, then, you know, they'd overturn it. Or if it's offensive holding, I mean, you think the, you know, one of the offensive linemen tackles your guy as he's rushing the quarterback and the ball hasn't been thrown, and they go back and look at it, and, you know, if it was that egregious of a violation, that they would make the call. But if it wasn't, then, you know, they wouldn't. I mean, we gotta live with that anyway. But now it's only on certain, you know, certain plays and certain situations. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of confusing for me as to, you know, which plays are and which plays aren't challengeable. I'm sure it's confusing for the fans, you know, to know what all they are. I mean, there's multiple pages explaining what you can and can't challenge. Then you have the ref or the officials come over to you, you know, oftentimes during a controversial type of play, and will say, you know, well, you can challenge this or you can't challenge it, you know, just to remind you, which is helpful. But, you know, I'm just saying, in the whole idea of simplifying the game and trying to get the important plays right, I wouldn't have any problem if any play was open to a challenge, understanding that if it's not conclusive, then it's not conclusive. Rolling on the field with stamp. But, I mean, that's the way it is anyway. So, I got to make it a lot simpler in my mind.
Well, I don't know how much you get into it because it happened, what, week three or four. I was curious your thoughts on if you saw anything from Brian Hoyer. Obviously, he's not going to be a factor in this game because he's on IR, but just what he did this year, being a former Patriot and sort of his emergence and then unfortunately being sidelined there with the knee injury.
Yeah, well, I mean, we obviously wish him the best. You know, I expressed my personal, you know, feelings to him and his family. You know, and he got an opportunity and he went in there and made the most of it, and then, you know, unfortunately, you know, suffered an injury there. So, but, you know, yeah, whether it's Matt or Brian or, you know, those guys, as long as it doesn't hurt us, I'm always rooting for them. But many of our other players around the league that, you know, have done well, that, perform, you know, that were good Patriot players during their time here. And we understand that's part of the business. You develop personal relationships with them. And as long as it doesn't hurt you, you know, I hope they do well. But in Brian's case, certainly, you know, I know his recovery is coming along well, and hopefully it'll continue that way. And, you know, he'll have another opportunity. He's a great kid, works hard, and he certainly paid his dues along the way.